Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. Here I am, your host, Mac, back in the studio, me and the gramophone, or really what it is called is the Victor Talking Machine. That's right, the two of us here today, and starting off with a record that's high on my hot list. Very high on my hot list. Smoky Mokes, totally into the cakewalks these days, you know? Because I saw the kids walking around my neighborhood. They were playing that Pokemon Go while they were listening to cakewalks on their headphones. Because the kids know what's going on. So let them lead the way. Let them show the beauty we possess inside with finding the Pokemon monsters on the sidewalk. Right. Well, there we heard it was Prince's Orchestra with a 1902 recording of an 1899 song, Smoky Mokes. Two-step, also a cakewalk. Lovely little ragtime number there to get us all going. And let's jump ahead to those a little bit more liberated times for the guys and the girls. The girls are cutting their hair, wearing their dresses above their knee. They are smoking. And the guys are all for this liberation. Things are changing for them, too. And Jack Kaufman's out and about in 1919. I'm not sure if he's complaining or proclaiming, "Oh, mother, I'm wild."
Little Aldi was a sweet little boy, always dressed up like little Lord Fauntleroy. Early to bed and early to rise didn't make Percival very wise. But after a month on Broadway, here's what he wrote home today. "Oh, mother, you wouldn't know your child. Mother, I'm getting awfully wild. I am drinking Coca-Cola now. On the level, I'm a little devil. Oh, mother, you wouldn't want me home. Cannibals compared to me are mild. I'm no more your feeble little lamb. I shave most every day just like a man. I've thrown away my nightie and I wear pink pajamas. Oh, oh, mother, I'm wild." Percival went to see a musical show. He had a seat right in the very front row. Each girl began to shimmy and shake. Then Percy hollered out, "For goodness sake, oh, mother, if you could just see, this is the life, dear, for me. Oh, mother, you wouldn't know your child. Oh, mother, I'm getting awfully wild. I am reading snappy stories now. Every minute, I just go the limit. Oh, mother, you wouldn't want me home. Cannibals compared to me are mild. One night I stayed out till after 10, bought some Cuban cigarettes, and then I stood right on the corner and I spoke with all the men. Oh, oh, mother, I'm wild." "Bathe myself in perfume just to wash my sins away. Oh, oh, mother, I'm wild."
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, the jazz age is underway. He's going to Broadway shows every night, drinking Coca-Cola. You know? That old saying, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris or Broadway? Well, you know, those kids, they get all excited. It's a whole new thing. It's like when you go to college, right? You're suddenly out and about. But I think being in New York in 1919, coming from some Kansas farm, is a lot different from going to college. But kids get crazy, get hooked up with a girl. Next thing you know, they're married. And they're wanting to continue those crazy ways. But no. No, 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 no. That's going to change. How will it change? Well, let's hear it right now from Miss Ada Jones with a 100-year-old record from 1916 on the Victor record label entitled "Put On Your Slippers, Fill Up Your Pipe. You're not going bye-bye tonight."
A man can't spend a night home nowadays. That Brown, he's awful sick. I must go see him quick. What puzzles me is what I should put on. He said that no puzzle, here's the answer, John. Put on your slippers and fill up your pipe. You are not going bye-bye tonight. No earthly use making that old excuse. Let me tell you, kiddos, you're married to a widow. Phone down to Brownie, I know it's a shame. Tell him that I said your excuse is too lame. And give my regards to the boys in the game. You are not going bye-bye tonight. The Joneses climbed the social ladder seven rungs or more. He got a chafing dish. He bought a soup and fish. He had it on him several times, but not outside his door. One night he said, I guess I'll leave you, dear, and dress. I'm speaker at the swellest of affairs. He said, I'm the speaker, don't put on those airs. Put on your slippers and fill up your pipe. You are not going bye-bye tonight. No earthly use making that old excuse. Right here, you're a fixture. Get out your old Duke's mixture. Keep up your pipe rings, but don't be misled. When your pipe goes out, smoke your meccas instead. Then put on your nightie and crawl into bed. You're not going bye-bye tonight.
That's right. You think you're just going to be going out and continuing that lifestyle you had when you were single? No, no, no. You are not going to be doing that. So don't even think it. Okay. Oh, let's continue now with a classic. You know, a lot of the songs from this era are still pretty well known. And even though most of them I would consider classics. Well, I guess there's a lot that aren't classics still from this period. But anyway, for sure this one, the from the show Whoopi, Making Whoopi. Of course, it's one of the quintessential songs of the jazz age and that whole period. Everyone's making Whoopi. Is everybody happy while making Whoopi? If not, that's a problem. Okay, well, here is a record by the Louisiana Collegians on the Harmony label. We don't really know who the Louisiana Collegians are, but Jack's brother, Irving Kaufman, will be doing the vocal refrain on this one. And this is from 1928.
Another reason for making whoopee. A lot of shoes,
a lot of fright. The groom is nervous, he answers twice. It's really killing that he's so willing to make whoopee. Picture a little love nest down where the roses cling. Picture the same sweet love nest. Think what a year can bring. He's washing dishes and baby clothes. He's so ambitious, he even sews. But don't forget, folks, that's what you get, folks, for making whoopee.
Needed a cymbal choke there at the end. Why was there no cymbal choke? I love it when songs end with that cymbal choke. You know what the cymbal choke is? When, you know, when they hit the cymbal and they grab it with their hand real quick. And they choke it. Choke the cymbal. Okay. Gonna play something a little bit more unusual right now. So, yeah. The gramophone is having its peak of its... I wouldn't say its peak. It's the gramophone record. It certainly won the War of the Formats by even 1905. The disc was the clear winner. But still, well, one of the reasons was that longer playtime. The disc had a side that played 3 minutes, and the cylinder was still two. Edison was moving towards the four-minute cylinder very soon. But in 1908, Columbia had an idea. Instead of putting the music only on one side of the record, we can put music on two sides. Why not? The other side is just blank. That's right. Before then, records were one-sided, and the backside would have a label or sometimes a design. But then they finally realized, oh, we can put another song on the back. So you get two songs for the price of one. And back in 1908, when Columbia introduced this idea, they gave away this special record extolling the virtues of the new double-sided record as well as the sound. So let's hear this. Let's hear this record. Here we go. It's like an advertisement.
The purpose of this record is to demonstrate the Columbia double disc record. It is not offered for sale. Columbia double disc record. Music on both sides. A different selection on each side. Two records at a few cents above the price of one. They may be played on any disc machine, the Columbia graphophone or the Victor talking machine. And they give you double value for your money, plain as daylight. The music of Columbia double disc records is the music itself. Not merely our idea of what we can make the people think music ought to be. You are assured of as perfect a record on each side of the disc as you ever bought before under any name at any price. Perfect in surface, perfect in tone, and extraordinary in durability. The Columbia double disc record will unfailingly outwear any other disc record. This statement has been proved over and over again, and it is easy enough for you to prove it for yourself. The Columbia process of recording, as developed especially during the last 2 years, produces a naturalness and roundness and perfection of tone that is positively unequaled in any other. The singing voice, as recorded in the Columbia Laboratory, is the living voice of the artist, clear, flawless, and natural. And from the simple, brassy note of the bugle to the delicate tone shading of the violin, Columbia recording of instrumental music is marvelously true. Note the ringing clarity of the orchestra bells. The pure golden tone of the cornet. The dulcet blending of the flute and the violin. The bird-like warble of the piccolo. The stately sonority of the trombone. The reedy sweetness of the clarinet. And now, the splendid ensemble of the full orchestra. Columbia double disc record. Double disc, double value, double wear, double everything except price. Don't put your record money into any other.
Don't put your record money into any others. Mm-hmm. Double-sided is good. Well, Victor was on board with that pretty quickly, too. Sure, became the standard thing. Yeah. Well, speaking of demonstrations and advertisements, this is kind of one. Uncle Chosh, played by Cal Stewart, had all sorts of adventures with all sorts of things and situations. What about when Uncle Josh buys a Victrola? How about that for a nice bit of advertising by the Victor Talking Machine Company? Let's get one of their star guys put out a record about getting one of their machines. So let's hear this from 1919. On the Victor label. Uncle Josh buys a Victrola.
Well, while I was down in New York, I wanted to get Nancy something for a wedding present. Every time I go anywhere, I bring Nancy something as a peace offering. At least that's what the neighbors call it. So I got her all the good music there was in the world, yes, sir. I bought her a Victor Victrola. Well, I wish you could have seen Nancy when I brought it home. We shot it up in the setting room. We would have shot it in the parlor, only Nancy said all the neighbors would be coming in to hear it, and she wasn't going to have them tracking mud all over her new ingrain carpet. Gosh, we couldn't hardly wait till supper was over to set it to playing, and I don't think either one of us ate very much. I was anxious to get it to go, and I helped Nancy wash the dishes. I asked Nancy if I hadn't better call in the neighbors, but she said no. Just started to playing, and human nature will do the rest. I put on turkey in the straw, and it hadn't more than got to going right good when Jim Lawson come in. He said he'd come over to see what I thought about the coming election, and then he asked me what other tunes it would play. Well, in less than no time, all punk and tender was at our house. I think Deacon Witherspoon would have danced a jig if I hadn't put on Sweet Hour of Prayer. It played some grand opery music that Hank Weaver said was just as good as a trip to Europe. It played Silver Threads Among the Gold, and it had the women folks pretty nigh crying. It sounded so sad and pretty, I come darn near blubbering right out. We shot it up with a telephone and played jazz music, and Hickory Corners got the telephone gal to connect them with our house, and they had a dance. Well, sir, there was one record what told about our town of Pumpkin Center. It told about Jim Lawson and me and Nancy Deacon Witherspoon, Cy Pettengill and Hank Weaver, Rube Hendricks, Lige Willis, and about everyone in Pumpkin Center. First one would laugh and then the other. It all depended who the joke was on. Cindy Lawson got madder than a wet hen when it told about her. She said whoever did the talking on that record was hard put for something to do. Gosh, I never laughed more in my life at one time. Then it played a band tune, and it was so natural, you could just see the soldiers marching, and you could hear the cannon shooting and the bugles blowing, and then it finished with a Star-Spangled Banner. We all tried to sing it, and I'll be darned if any of us knowed it all the way through. Jim Lawson got as far as the dawn's early light, and he sung that 8 times. Hank Weaver said he guessed Jim knowed it was daylight by that time. Nancy says I got the big soli for her, but she ain't had a chance to play it yet.
Right, guys, we know how that goes. You say, oh, I'm going to buy my wife a present. Honey, I bought you a brand new set of socket wrenches. Look. Look how shiny they are. Shiny. And she's like, I don't need no socket wrenches. Sure you do, to fix the car. Well, you fix the car. That's right. I fixed the car so I can take you places. That's why you needed the socket wrenches. Oh, thank you. Right. Notice I can do the questions and the answers at the same time. Well, I guess that's the idea behind being a recording artist. You're doing it all yourself. Or a radio host. All the voices. I should do more voices. I'm going to do that. But someone who could do a lot of voices was Miss Adele Rowland. Sorry, Adeline Francis. Sorry. She did a lot of spoken records around 1916 and 1917 for the Columbia Record Company. And mostly children's things. Things like Jimmy's Donuts, Busy Lizzie. She did a Cinderella, a Little Red Riding Hood. The Bunnies at Bunnyville Center. Lots of titles. And now we're going to hear The Shoemaker and the Brownies. This is a Columbia record from 1916. These talking records, you have to really tune your ears to listen through the noise to the content. So get a little closer to your speaker, maybe. Oh, you're wearing headphones. You really can't get that any closer. Okay, well, just use your internal filter. That's what you really got to do. Set your internal filter.
Here is a real funny old story, which I think you will like. It's about an old shoemaker who became so poor that he only had enough leather to make one pair of shoes. He cut out the shoes at night, intending to finish them in the morning. But when morning came and he sat down to work, there were the shoes standing upon his bench, already finished. Soon a customer came in and liked the shoes so much that he not only bought them, but paid double the price for them. So the shoemaker was able to buy enough leather to make 2 pairs of shoes. He cut them out in the evening, saying he would finish them early next morning. But when he sat down to work, there were the shoes again, already made. And 2 customers came in and bought them, paying him a big price. So now the shoemaker was able to buy leather for 4 pairs of shoes. One night, when Christmas was near, the shoemaker said to his wife, Let us sit up tonight and see who it is that makes the shoes. So they lighted a candle and sat and watched, hiding themselves in the corner of the room. At midnight, a band of little naked men appeared and seated themselves at the shoemaker's bench, took up the pieces of leather, and began to sew and hammer. They worked hard until the shoes were finished, and then went away. Next morning, the shoemaker's wife said to her husband, "We must do something to show these little brownies how grateful we are, for they have helped us to get rich. They must be cold with no clothes on, so I will make a little shirt, a coat and vest, and a pair of breeches for each of them, and knit them some stockings too. And you can make them each a little pair of shoes." At night, the shoemakers laid the clothes upon the bed and hid so that they might see what the little men would do. The brownies came in, and such delight when they saw the clothes. They dressed themselves quickly and began to sing, "Such very, very funny, funny men are we, that we can no longer shoemakers be. La 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 la." They were so pleased that they chased one another over tables and chairs and then danced out of the room. They never came again, but as long as the shoemaker lived, he was happy and had plenty, all due to the funny little brownie who made the shoes and who went away singing, "La la 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 la."
Oh man, he should have just kept the brownies naked. He gave the brownies shoes and clothes, and they cut out. I mean, the guy had a really good thing going. He had these little naked brownies showing up, making shoes better than he could, that he could sell for double the price he normally could. Maybe he was right to set the brownies free. I'm not sure. It's hard to know when you see those naked brownies making shoes for you what the right thing to do is. It's hard. Well, the thing is, there was a big consciousness now going on about music for children. And what was music for children? What should children be listening to as opposed to adults? And, of course, there were stories. Children always love hearing stories. Adults always love hearing stories. But then there was music. And a lot of times, there was a whole department at the Victor Talking Machine Company, which was dedicated to getting Victrolas into the school systems. Not only getting the Victrolas in there, special machines that were durable and could be rolled around with wheels, but records that would go with lessons for the teachers to administer. And even the lessons would come with, there were record sets about the instruments of the orchestra. There would be giant pictures of the instruments of the orchestra as the kids could hear them on the Victrola. So a lot of consciousness going on about music for children. Now we're going to hear a record which is called Rhythms for Children. And it's a lot of different pieces. And there was a person, I don't know his name, who was one of the people deciding what kind of music children should be listening to. And what I like about this is they're mostly classical pieces. So it's not giving them little dumb rhythms like Mary Had a Little Lamb, like Thomas Edison and his drunken late-night men sang into the phonograph, but giving them real sophisticated bits of music that were they thought were geared towards kids. And I think that's the better approach to it. So here's this Victor record. It's a medley. It's just called Rhythms for Children from 1921. right, there you go. That's it. So, yeah, I really notice how there were some very fine, sophisticated little bits here. And why did it all devolve into thinking kids need dumber music? Dumb them down. Not the right attitude towards most things to make it dumber. You know? People rise to the occasion, hopefully. Intellectually. I guess they don't, do they? Never mind that part. Never mind. Okay. On to some more hit records. Hits of the teens. Not these teens, the teens 100 years ago. Well, you know that because you're listening to the show. The Dardanella was a huge dance and song made popular by Ben Selvin's Novelty Orchestra in 1919. It was a huge one. And it belongs up there among well-known songs of the period, such as Over There or Caruso's Pagliacci or Yes, We Have No Bananas. It's a little bit more obscure, but was hugely popular. A song you should know, The Dardanella. Thank you. There you go. The Dardanella. I think part of what I do here on this show, hopefully, is not only introduce you to obscure artists of the period, but also popular songs. And why were they popular? I don't always know why they're popular. I just know that they were. Why was Napoleon XIV popular with "They're Coming to Take Me Away"? Ha ha. Was it because of Beatrice Kay? Their song, "They're Taking Me to the Loony Bin"? I don't know. I don't know. So you can't have explanations for all these. Popular songs just hit a note. No pun intended. If people knew how they work, they'd be writing pop songs all the time. Well, I guess they are. But pop songs that are actually popular. Okay. Well, how do you write a popular song? Well, how about try getting together two music professionals like, Lawrence Hart and Richard Rodgers. Yeah, get them together to do a show. Write some songs, and you might get results. Well, they had to start somewhere, and their first show was something called the Garrick Gaieties. And it was a success in 1925. So there you go. And one of the tunes to come out of that show is a number that is still part of the Great American Songbook called Manhattan. Here it's done by the Manhattan Dance Makers from 1925. The song is written in 1925, so potentially this is the first recorded version of Manhattan. Let's hear it. Thank you. There you go. And those recordings on the Harmony label are really great. That was a label that was started by Columbia. And as soon as they finished this state-of-the-art acoustic recording studio, the electric recording process was introduced. So instead of just abandoning the studio, they kept it going for a few years. But some of the best acoustic sounding recordings, in my opinion, came from that label and that period. They were active until about doing acoustic recordings until the late 20s, and practically 1929, before they switched to electric. Okay, moving on. A couple more records to squeeze in. Here's one by, it's going to be one of our oldest records for tonight. 1908, I believe. By the Whitney Brothers Quartet. And I really can't find much information about them. I have to dig beyond the internet. And to some of my books. Imagine that on the shelf. But here they are doing Hail Smiling Morn. It's an old English glee. The Whitney Brothers Quartet.
Hail, smiling morn, smiling morn. Let hips the hill that calls, let hips the hill that calls. The morning fingers open the gates of day.
Oh, yeah, that's a bit of an optimistic one. Nice in that barber shop quartet style that we kind of think of as a caricature of the period. And there actually were some records like that. A friend of mine who's a barber, Mike, the barber, who, you know, sometimes shared the show with me and fills in for me sometimes, was telling me about the origins of the barbershop quartet. And, you know, back in 100 plus years ago, barbers were doing a lot of different things. Besides cutting your hair, they would do dentistry, bleeding, all sorts of medieval torturous cures. And most of these things were done without anesthetic. So what you'd have is someone getting a tooth pulled with no anesthetic, and they'd be screaming. Well, that's not going to bring customers in. So you have these guys up front singing to drown out the screaming of your customer. So people are just enjoying the beautiful singing, not hearing the screaming. And then you come in next, you're next, yes, and we'll do some more beautiful singing. La, 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 la. Behind it all. Just sing loud enough, guys. Don't let anybody hear it. Well, folks, that's going to about do it for this edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. Yes, of course, I am your host, Mac, every week here in the studio. Tonight's just me again with the Victor 4 talking machine. And, you know, I've been keeping you informed a little bit about my the atrophy of my right side of my face, my Bell's palsy. But it's actually waning a little bit. You know, let's say if my face before was at 100%, I'd say I have about 25% of it on the right side now. Definitely helps speaking, and also I can almost blink my right eye, which was a big pain before. Things happen, but I didn't want it to stop me from bringing this radio show to you every week. And so it didn't. So I say to you, Bell's palsy, bah humbug! Right. Well, I will be back next week with more records. And always like to mention that you can see bits of what's going on here on the show. And other adventures I'm having with the gramophone through my Instagram on your smart device. When you're not playing Pokemon Go looking for monsters, you can check out some of the pictures of me and my gramophones and phonographs. And that is Phonograph DJ Mac on Instagram. Phonograph DJ Mac. And of course, you got questions? Maybe I'll have answers. So feel free to write me at mac@wfmu.org with any questions you might have. I'll be happy to try to answer them. And I'm always looking for guests to come on the show. That's right. To share. Those who share my enthusiasm for this hobby. I'm always looking for them. Here, there, and everywhere. I like it better when they find me, though. That's the way most things work out better for me. When it comes to me. Instead of me having to go to it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean. Okay, so that's going to do it. I'm going to leave you with one more little hot, raggy number for you. We started off with Prince's Orchestra, and we're going to end with Prince's Band here on a 1911 raggy number called the Ramshackle Rag. It's very ramshackle, so hold on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on to your ladies. So until next week, this is your host, Mac, of the Antique Phonograph Music Program, saying nighty-night, everybody. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org.